We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 5, and we're beginning our reading at verse 10. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 10, where we read, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. We want to pay particular attention to verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now let us pray together. Our Father, we praise you this morning that you have an object in saving us. You are making us like Christ. Thy word declares that we who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. We praise you for this, and therefore this beatitude becomes a reality to us at various stages in our Christian experience. And we pray, O God, that we may take to heart that which is written here, and that we may get a fresh view of what a genuine child of God is. To this end, we commend ourselves to you, and we would pray earnestly, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and in speaking to my heart, speak to all who are gathered, and will thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Now, the Christian life is one that is full of paradoxes. They're quite insoluble when it comes to human understanding, but they can be understood by the enlightened spiritual mind. In this beatitude which is before us, we learn that blessedness is accompanied by misery. That doesn't seem right, does it? That's paradoxical. Blessed are ye when ye are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't sound right, does it? And you see, this beatitude is looked upon by many scholars as the last one that our Lord gave here in Matthew 5, and I agree with that. Because you'll notice that the first beatitude, in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and this beatitude have the same reward. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when you are persecuted, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we find that the result of the first and the last beatitude are the same. Well, then you may ask the question, what about the next two verses that you read? Well, I believe the next two verses, verses 11 and 12, are an enlargement upon that beatitude that he ends with in verse 10. Because of all the beatitudes, this one is the most difficult. No one likes to be persecuted. Because this beatitude is strong proof of human depravity, and that man's curses and God's blessing should meet at the same place. Think of it. The blessings of God and the curses of man meet at the same place. Now you think this through with me for just a moment. We just sang that hymn at Calvary. "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified." And when our blessed Lord was crucified on the cross on Calvary's hill, what was there? The curse of man. Man said he is not fit to live. Crucify him. He's not worthy of life. But there the blessing of God met with a cursing of man. for the greatest blessing that ever came to mankind and that can ever come into your life. Come to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and knowing the forgiveness of sins that takes place because Christ bore there when he died in our place and in our stead the judgment of our holy God against sin. Now we who are the Lord's cannot expect to be exempt from the wicked, depraved nature of humankind. Humanity still hates Christ as much as they ever did. You've never heard an ungodly man take the president's name in vain, or someone else, or Einstein, or someone like that, but they will take the name of our blessed Lord in vain. If man wants to curse, he curses the most blessed one who ever lived, our Lord Jesus. It is his precious name that they take to their lips with an oath. Why? Because the world hates him. Now, the strong proof of human depravity and the glorious proof of Christ's blessing, they meet at the same place and they meet in the same person. They meet in the child of God the same as they meet in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God's objective is to make a people like Jesus Christ. And if we keep the objective of God before us, we will be delivered from a lot of wrong thinking. God is not simply trying to keep me from going to hell. Now, thank God I'm not going there. And the awfulness of the lake of fire should often be brought before men to bear on their minds that they may know the awfulness of what it means to be lost. My friend, one moment in the lake of fire is more than I could ever bear. But the Word of God doesn't teach one moment in the lake of fire. It teaches an eternity in the lake of fire. And that is why we need to be saved. But God doesn't save me just to keep me from the lake of fire. I deserve that, for I'm a rebel against God by nature. But God saves me to make me like his Son. That is why, if he was persecuted, then we, if there's anything of Christ in us, the world is going to hate that which it sees of Christ in us. So our Lord says, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, in order to examine that 10th verse, we have to examine what it doesn't say. You know, and you only do this by meditation. Now, let me just tell you what this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, blessed are the persecuted. It does not say that. It says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There are a lot of people who have an idea that they're being persecuted, but they're not being persecuted for righteousness. They're being persecuted because of some of their own quaint ways that they have. And it's possible to be persecuted for that. It is this expression, for righteousness' sake, they who have been made righteous in Christ. And now that righteousness is manifested in a life that has been transformed by divine grace. And it is because of that transformed life that the persecution comes. And it is because of that that a person is blessed. So, let us notice very quickly what this verse doesn't say. You see, there have been grievous periods in the history of the church when the church and when people who are righteous have been persecuted. When I think of John Huss, that godly preacher of Bethlehem in what is now Czechoslovakia, John Huss, and the way in which he was persecuted by the Roman Church when there were two popes reigning at the same time, one from the Vatican, one from Lyons, France, They were both reigning at the same time. They were like the Republicans and the Democrats. The one was in trying to stay in, and the other one was out trying to get in. And, of course, John Huss was there in Bethlehem proclaiming the message of the gospel. What a godly man he was. And he was made promises by religious people. And they went back on their promises. They promised him a safe journey for a trial that they were going to have. They promised him that he would be given the privilege of freely proclaiming the gospel to them. And when he got to the trial, they didn't try him. They put him in a cold dungeon. He contracted pneumonia. And after his trial, which was really a mockery, they burned him at the stake. Persecution. When I think of the persecution during the time of Torquemada and the Spanish Inquisition, it was terrible. The church has suffered persecution. And there may come a time, friends, when we suffer persecution. We know very little about persecution in this country. We have had it easy as God's people, but in some countries it's difficult. Behind the iron curtain and behind the bamboo curtain, it is difficult many times to proclaim the gospel, even behind the bamboo curtain today. If you read letters from those who are trying to bear a clear testimony for God, even while working as a teacher in China, it is difficult, and you wonder at what they're going to have to face day by day. But in the meantime, notice what our text does not say. It doesn't say, blessed are they who are persecuted because they are objectionable. There's some people who object to everything. They're never happy with anything that he's done for the Lord. And they go around with a persecution complex when you don't agree with them. You know, our text doesn't say that. It doesn't say, blessed are they who are persecuted because they're objectionable. It doesn't even say, blessed are those who are having a hard time in their Christian life because they're difficult. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, blessed are the persecuted because they are fanatical. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, blessed are the persecuted because they're overzealous. It doesn't say that either. And it doesn't say, blessed are they who are persecuted for a cause. It's so easy to get involved in a cause instead of getting involved with righteousness. If Satan can get a person all wrapped up in a cause, instead of wrapped up with a gospel that saves, that which will deliver a soul from the bondage of sin, and deliver that person into the glorious liberty of knowing that his sins are forgiven, that he'll never meet with his sins, that our sins will be remembered against us no more because they were dealt with once and for all and forever by the lovely Savior when he died on the cross on Calvary's Hill. That's why that chorus of that last hymn we sang is so wonderful. Speaking of Calvary, it says, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. What do you think of that? I tell you, William Newell knew the reality of that. Pardon multiplied. You know, if a man is in prison and he gets a pardon, that's one thing. But think of the pardon being multiplied. Multiplied. And oh, that's what took place. I wasn't only forgiven of one sin. I was forgiven probably a million of sins by the Lord. Think of the graciousness of the mercy of God. You see, our text doesn't say, blessed are they who are persecuted for being good, or being noble, or being self-sacrificing. Now, being good, being noble, being self-sacrificing, this can be a subtle distinction, but it has to be made. Our text says, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness. Righteousness is the word of verse 10. And we are either made righteous in Christ and by Christ, or we are still unrighteous and in our sins. And if a person has been made righteous in Christ, then a life follows, a life of righteousness. This is why, if I were to say to you this morning, are you saved? You would have the right to ask me, from what? From what have you been saved? Thank God I've been saved from sin. I've been saved from sin. It's like a lady that came here a number of years ago. Came here from California. She said, I had the foulest mouth and the most wicked speech that you've ever heard. Said, I could swear and curse till the air was blue. And my husband knew in 3 weeks' time after I was saved that I was really saved. She said, I only cursed one time after I was saved. She said, it came out without me realizing it. And she said, I felt so dirty and so ashamed, I got on my knees and wept before the Lord. And I asked him to cleanse my mouth. And he did. From what have you been saved, my friend? Oh, there are many people who have been saved from a life of lying. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when we no longer lie, when we tell the truth to our neighbor. There are those who have been saved from a life of stealing. All sorts of, this is what God does. God saves sinners. Now, we have to ask a question. So since we looked at what our text does not say, we now have to look at what it does say. Who are these righteous ones who are persecuted? Well, being righteous in our text means practicing righteousness. It really means, friends, being like the Lord Jesus himself. Now that's a big order. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now this is what is expected of me, and this is what is expected of you, to walk even as he walked. If you tell me you're abiding in Christ, then you should be walking even as he walked. And so should I. Now, being persecuted for righteousness' sake is being like Christ. Now, they who are like him will always be persecuted. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 18. John's Gospel, chapter 15, our Lord is on his way to the cross. He's spending his last night with his disciples. They had met for the Passover meal and he had introduced the Lord's Supper. And now, in the 15th of John, he's walking on the way to the garden. He's on his way to that special time when he prays to the Father. In verse 18 of John 15, he says, we ought to read verse 17 first. These things I command you that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You see, they who are like the Lord will always be persecuted. And Paul, when he wrote to his young son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 12, he said to Timothy, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, it has been so throughout redemptive history. Abel was persecuted by Cain. Why? 1 John 3 tells us, because Abel was righteous and Cain was unrighteous. Blessed are ye when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then Moses. Moses was persecuted. Why? Why? Because he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses knew persecution. When I think of David, why was David so persecuted by King Saul? He was so persecuted because he was righteous and Saul knew it. He had to admit it. He admitted it with his own tongue, that your ways of righteous are righteous and mine were evil. I meant evil for you, but you meant good for me. Saul had to admit, you spared my life. But he continued to persecute David. Friends, it has always been so, whether you read the life of Elijah, the life of Jeremiah, or the life of Daniel. But the supreme example was the Lord Jesus himself. The scripture says of him in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter was speaking, and he simply said, he went about doing good. He blessed men, but he never cursed. He never met a person who had ills and left that person as he met them. He always blessed them. But what did they do to the Lord? They hated him. They took up stones to stone him. And finally, they crucified him. Now, who persecutes the righteous? Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who persecutes the righteous? Well, from the scriptures we learn that the persecution doesn't simply come from the world. A lot of times, the persecution, in fact, most of the time, the persecution comes from religious people. Let me say that again. The persecution will come from religious people. It is religious people who persecute people who are righteous. Our Lord himself was persecuted by the Pharisees, by the scribes, and by the doctors of the law. It was they who persecuted the Lord. Now, why are the righteous persecuted by the religious folk? You see, if we were just simply good and noble, we wouldn't be persecuted. Because people have the idea in themselves, well, when I'm at my best, I can do as well as they do. So they're not persecuted. But why did the Pharisees and the religious leaders persecute our Lord? It was not because he was good. For when he fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch, when he fed them, they wanted to make him a king. Oh, they wanted to make him a king. But when he taught them what is necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven, that they must be cleansed by the blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, they rejected that. You see, and they rejected our Lord not because he was good. They rejected our Lord because he was different. And that's so important. For a righteous person is not simply good. They are different. There is something about a righteous person that condemns others. And there is that about the life of our Lord that condemned the religious leaders of his day. And they couldn't stand him. They couldn't stand the correction and the truth that flowed from the lips of our Lord. You see, just because a righteous person is what they are, they condemn us, and they make us feel unhappy. Why was Daniel thrown into the den of lions? It was because he was righteous. They tried, the other men in Babylon or in Persia, they tried to get Daniel in order that they might accuse him, and they couldn't find a thing. It was because he was righteous. Now, if our concept of Christ is such that he can be admired and applauded by the non-Christian, we have a wrong view of Christ. If the person who isn't saved can applaud Christ and talk about him as a good man, we have a wrong view. For they stoned Christ. They threw stones at him. They hated him. And they said, we'll have Barabbas, a murderer, instead of Christ. Now, in closing, I'd like to apply this very quickly. When we read this beatitude, it says, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This beatitude tests us. It tests our ideas as to what a genuine Christian is. Now, my friend, there's no need being a Christian if you're not a genuine one. I don't want to be a half-hearted anything. I want to be the real thing. And this beatitude, it tests us what a real Christian is like. A genuine Christian is one in whom you see Jesus Christ. He is like his Lord. Now our Lord said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. If a man is hailed by everybody and spoken well of, beware. Beware. That's what they did to the false prophets in the Old Testament. That's what our Lord said. Now, these are not my words. They're the words of the Lord in Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Now, most people have the idea, friends. Remember, I said this comes to us as a test. What is a genuine Christian? A genuine Christian is one who is like Christ. That's a genuine Christian. Now, most people have the idea that the perfect Christian is almost always nice. Oh, isn't he a nice guy, you know? He's always nice. He's popular. And he never offends anybody. And he's easy to get along with. If you see, that isn't true. The Christian is not a person who is praised by everybody. They did not praise our Lord, friends. And they will not praise you if you're going to live a righteous life. Now, this should encourage you, because some of us have to take a stand on our job. And if you don't take it, you should. We're living in a day of unrighteous practices many times. And a Christian is one who stands for righteousness. And righteousness means simply doing that which is right. You see, this teaching should really concern our thinking. The thinking of the carnal man. For the Word of God says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. So we end here with a question. What is the attitude of the world toward Christ right now? There are more people take his name in vain who can say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and do it because they know that their sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I don't want you to go away with a wrong idea of what a Christian is. To be saved means that God saves us from our sins and then he begins working to make us like Christ. Now, the next thing we want to consider very quickly is this. Do I know what it means to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Do I know what it means? To become like Christ means that He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Light will expose darkness, and the darkness will always hate the light. And there come times in our lives when we have to take a stand. And the stand becomes simple. Is it light or darkness? And the word of God comes to us. You see, this is what it means to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. You just don't do it because everybody else does. If it's unrighteous. Blessed are ye. And you know, one of the worst things that ever faces a child of God is to be ostracized. We don't want you around. The loneliness sometimes of being ostracized. Blessed are ye. That's what the Word of God says. You see, we as believers, we're not called upon to be offensive. We're not called upon to be unwise. We're not called upon to be foolish. We're not even told to parade our Christian faith. What we are simply told is to be like Christ. That's it. Just to be like Christ. And if we are, persecution will be inevitable. There's a little verse in Philippians chapter 1. It's verse 29. Let me quote it to you. It says, "Unto you it is given, on the behalf of Christ, not only to suffer, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." When you go through the New Testament, there are people who came to Christ, and he said, "Now I want you to know what this means. It means it's extensive. It's a life of dedication. It means that if you're coming after me, you're going to have to carry your cross. If you're going to come after me, it means you better sit down and count the cost. You still want it? Here's the only place where you can have it. It's in Christ. Not in the preacher. Not in the church. But it's in Christ. You see, the first statement that God made concerning his purpose for the human family is in Genesis chapter 1 when God created. He said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." That's the purpose of God. And you know that the image of God in man has been very distorted through sin, through man's rebellion. But God is determined to have a people forever with himself, known as the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, who are like Christ. And the only way to be like Christ is to come and trust Christ as Lord and Savior. And the more we're like Christ, well, persecution may follow. We don't have a persecution complex because our Lord says, "Blessed are ye." It's given unto you in behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer. You still want it? The only remedy for sin, the person of Jesus Christ. For the blood of Christ not only gives us a relationship to him, it also gives us righteousness. We are made the very righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, may God, if you're here without him, draw you to him. Don't be afraid of persecution. The early church rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for his name. It's worth it. There isn't anything else that will ever save. Blessed are ye when you're persecuted. What? For righteousness' sake. For being like Christ. Now let's pray together. Our Father, make us more like Christ. This is why you saved us. and oh, we fall so far short. But we thank you that when you saved us, you forgave us all our sins, and you are constantly working with us to make us more like thy Son. Oh, we thank you that there's a day coming when we shall be like him, when we shall see him as he is, and our eyes shall behold the King in his beauty. In the meantime, O Lord, we ask you to take this word and bless it to every heart. There are any in our midst who have not trusted you, who know you not. Oh, may they want to have you and know the genuine blessedness of the forgiveness of sins. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Take the word, we pray, and bless it to every heart, for Jesus' sake. Amen.